is like the soap operas. It always takes up where it left off the last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 6. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. The sentence that is before us is perfectly balanced, and it has two clauses. The verb that is there has direct objects that are opposite of one another. Wrongdoing and truth. Love characterizes God, but evil describes the devil. Love rejoiceth not in the devil, but rejoiceth in God. When you look at the word rejoiceth, I want to use the subject, when love celebrates. When love celebrates. We're not talking in terms of celebrating and rejoicing. What makes one glad? What is it that excites? What is it that causes one to rejoice? Is it iniquity or is it truth? When you look at the sentence, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love does not take delight when men are guilty of crime. Love does not celebrate when one falls into sin. It does not find pleasure in hearing about those who are accused of sin. And it does not seek to prove that one has committed sin. It has no pleasure in the report that one has done wrong. And it certainly does not follow up the report to try to establish its fidelity. Wicked men often find pleasure in iniquity and in sin. Not only is it talking about our attitude toward our brother or sister who is caught in sin, but it's talking about our attitude toward sin itself. It does not find pleasure and it does not rejoice in sin. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 29. This is Paul describing the Gentile world who has left God. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those, now watch this sentence, those who practice such things are deserving of death, those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve. Now that's the word that I want to underscore. They approve. They celebrate. They glorify those who practice them. When you look at our attitude, those who are caught in sin, and those and our attitude towards sin, he says that love does not rejoice in either or either of them. When you think in terms of iniquity, iniquity, as Paul described it in verses 29 through 32, that's what sells today. Anyone who is involved in sin and iniquity gets the attention. They're the ones that are worshipped. It's not the clean jokes that you want to hear. It's those dirty jokes. Music that has the lyrics that carry profanity, sexual immorality, and sexual movies. All of these tell us that there is a celebration, there is a rejoicing, there is a love for these types of activities. They're filled with violence. No longer do people admire the Lone Ranger and Tonto. No one wants to see Roy Rogers and his beautiful wife. People now want and they desire iniquity and sin. But if you really love, love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love does not celebrate evil. Love celebrates, love rejoiceth in the truth. In other words, love constantly attempts to discover good and those things that are praiseworthy. Love searches, not for iniquity, but love searches for truth. Love rejoices when that truth is triumphed over wrong. Love rejoices when truth prevails over evil. Truth prevails over sin. Love and truth are inseparable. You love, truth is a partner to it. For truth is God. Love is God. These two characteristics are the characteristics that God wants his disciples. We're placed in this world not to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, what the world glorifies and what the world seems to have an appetite for, the child of God doesn't have the same appetite. Child of God does not find pleasure, does not celebrate in evil, doesn't want to hear those dirty jokes, don't want to watch those scandalous movies. We all trying to get there, aren't we? Oh, man. But I'm telling you the truth. You and I are going to have to learn that if we're going to be disciples of God, we're going to have to become those people who are not thermostats, but thermometers. We're You're going to have to learn to be the light of the world. Whenever we find ourselves in an environment, we are the people who don't rejoice in iniquity, but we rejoice in truth. I'm going to give you a few examples, and then, as Brother Myers says, the lesson will be yours. When you think in terms of our attitude toward iniquity, Paul gives a beautiful illustration in 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 1 through 6. And I want you to read this with me. And I want you to see the attitude that Christians should have. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 1, it is reported commonly that there is what? Fornication among you. He says, it is actually reported, this is the New King James Version, that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among Gentiles. He said, what's among you? The world doesn't even consider that to be right. That a man has his father's wife. Watch the next verse. And you are puffed up. In other words, you celebrating the fact that you got a man right in the middle of the church who's sitting with a woman that's not even his legitimate wife. It's his daddy's wife. And the church is just it's okay. Y'all getting quiet on me. Paul says that when it comes to iniquity, watch him, he said, you need to learn how to mourn over that. Not celebrate it. Not turn your back and say, well, it's all right. Don't say, well, everybody else is doing it. You and I can never get comfortable. You and I can never get comfortable with sin in ourselves, nor sin in the church with another brother. What is your attitude toward it? He says that we cannot be puffed up. He says that he who had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Well, Brother Gibbs, I thought you said that love is not trying to find it out. He said we didn't have to try to find it out. It's walking openly. We didn't have to go and put out a search warrant and try to find out what was going on. It's so blatant that it walks in the church. When you got sin just walking in the body of the Lord's house and it has no shame, and the church is comfortable with it, God says something wrong with that. Now we're talking about love, and you're talking about being like God. God. Listen, I'm going to get to the truth, but I got to work with this first part of it first. You know, we just get comfortable with the way things are. And we see it on television. We hear it in our music. We hear it everywhere. But a child of God who is a disciple of Christ never gets comfortable, never apologizes, never causes himself to say, that's all right. And I know we got a lot of work to do in this area. I'm talking about right here at Greenville Avenue. I know it. When I'm one like this, I start from the pulpit and then I go back. I just believe that when we get to the point that we're puffed up about it, he said it's got to be taken from among you. Watch him. Hurry right quick because my time, I was singing too much. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who had done this deed. Watch him, hurry right quick. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's who we serve. when you're gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch the next verse. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now here's where love comes in. That his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our problem is that when we see sin, we want to report it, we want to condemn it, and we want to somehow castigate people. But sin is not there for us to just identify it, but it's our duty and our responsibility to try to correct it. Save. Watch the next verse. Your glorying is not good. Your celebrating is not good. You do not know that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Now we get to the point where we're comfortable with sin. And we're overlooking sin. Oh, y'all mighty quiet. But Paul said that is not a disciple. And we all have it in our families. Just look around. Just look around. It's everywhere. So don't act like I'm not in the house. I know I'm in the house. But he said a little leaven. And that's why you got to be careful about iniquity. And you cannot rejoice in it. You know when the grandkids come over and they're watching television, I like this about them because their parents evidently have taught them. You see certain things, they say, we can't watch that. I mean, they're just flipping through the channels, amen. It wasn't on when they got there, but they were just flipping through the channels. We can't watch that. We can't watch that. Can't watch that. And then you find out, well, what can you watch? Even Disney is corrupted now. Man, watch the news. The only thing that drives the news media is iniquity. They will cut in on your favorite show to show you iniquity. All week. Why do we have to just hear it over and over and over and over? He shot up the police department. I heard you the first time. But why is it that they have to have a steady diet? Now, when something good happens, it's a blip. Pew. And that's the kind of world we're living in. We're not focusing on the good. We're focusing in on iniquity. Have you heard anything good lately? That's what folk are asking. Have you heard anything good? Like, they don't want nothing good. That word good, that means you got me some good gossip. You start telling about somebody graduating from high school and somebody doing this. And they moving on. Oh, my time is gone. Well, Brother Gibbs, you say I got time? All right, then. I'm going to be very expeditious about my time. I'm going to have to cut that out, that out, that out. Let me show you the attitude of disciples toward the truth. You got time for this? Now, listen to this. Truth, ladies and gentlemen, is that, and I'm going to state it again, has a constant attempt to discover good and those things that are praiseworthy. Love searches out. Truth, rejoicing over that which is wrong. Listen, rejoicing over truth. Hear me well. Truth sees the wrong. But what truth does, truth looks at it, evaluates it, knows it is what it is, and don't lie about it. Never says that's all right. But what truth does is, truth looks at it and finds a way to overcome it. How can we get a... Oh, I see you're stuck. I see you're stuck. I see what got you stuck. I know what your problem is, but a man who is a true disciple, when he sees that and he sees his brother caught, he doesn't condemn his brother. He seeks to try to find something praiseworthy. Well, I promise that I'm not going to preach a long time. Jesus is the truth. I want you to write these scriptures down, and I want you to go home and study them. I'm just going to mention them. 2 John 1:4. I just got to go and deal with it. Put it up there. 2 John 1. And I promise you, wherever I am, I'm just going to quit when it says, time is up. But watch the word. I what? I rejoice how? That I found thy children. Now this is John talking to the children, the Christian, the disciples. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in what? As we have received a what? A commandment from the Father. Now that's the way we walk. We walk in truth. We know what's right. We praise that which is right. We love the Long Ranger. We love Tonto. We don't like. Well, anyway, walking in his commandment. Go to John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Go to Ephesians 4, verse number 21. This is where I'm gonna go on in the end right here. But watch this. So be that ye have heard whom? Who is the him? Jesus. And been what? Taught by him as the truth where? Jesus will come on the scene and say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. His whole mission in the world was to see that which was wrong, that which was evil, that which was sinful, and by him being the truth, he came to rectify it. He came to overcome it. Don't you know he even died for it? That's true. Truth. Let me give you one example. I got several here, but I'm just going to give you one because they're all going to say the same thing. Go to John 4, and I want to look at verse number 7, and then we're going to end. I just want to show you when truth comes to town. when truth comes through a city, and when truth encounters a person. I just want to show you how truth responds and how truth deals with the person. You remember Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria? Remember that? Remember that? I got to go through Samaria. Now I wonder, why did he want to go through Samaria? I'll tell you why. Because there's a whole lot of sin down there in Samaria. I mean, a whole lot of it. A whole lot of it. I've got to go through Samaria. I'm looking for a sinner. And guess what he found? There cometh a woman of Samaria to do what? Now I'm going to show you the first iniquity. The first iniquity is that rabbis have no dealing with women in public. That's a tradition, and he knows that's wrong. Number two, Samaritans and Jews have no dealing with one another. But truth is not caught up in tradition. Truth is not caught up in what everybody else does. Truth says, it don't matter to me. I'm truth. I'm looking for that which is praiseworthy. I'm looking for that which I can bring the best out of. And guess what he met? He met a woman. You know the story. He met a woman at the well. And he just asked her for a drink of water. Now some of us who have this attitude and not loving, we're the kind of people that, you ain't gonna catch me with that person. Do you know who that woman is? Do you know what kind of woman that is? But listen, Jesus never did approach that woman except for the sake of bringing out the best within that negative situation. Now, that's truth. Everybody can report sin, but I want to know how do you work toward it as love and truth to correct it? He said, if you knew who it is that's asking you, you must not know who I am. I'm truth. I'm truth. And I'm so true until I'm going to tell you who you are. You're a woman who had five husbands. You had five. He never did cover up her sin. He never did ignore her sin, act like she hadn't ever sinned. Truth doesn't do that. Truth said, no, I know. And to be honest about it, sister, the one you got now, you shacking. You tired of marrying, so now you're just living with him. That woman, when she came in contact with truth, truth is loving. Truth is about finding the good in an individual. And I'm telling you that when you and I get to the point that we really disciple after Christ, I mean really disciple after Christ, you and I will find that we have an attitude toward iniquity that's healthy, and we have an attitude toward truth that will allow us to be the kind of disciple that Jesus was when he was here upon this earth. I could give you example after example, but I believe that that is the essence of that text. If you're here this morning and you want to make your world better, you want to make relationships better, you want to make the world and the environment in which you find yourself better, I guarantee you, if you would go in and approach it as a disciple of Christ and let his spirit, let the very essence of who he is radiate your life and be a light to those people that you find yourself, you'll find that your world will become a better place simply because Jesus does not lie. I am the truth and I am the life. Not only will you not get to the Father without him, but you won't even be able to live a good life here without Jesus being a part of it. I beg you to become a part of Christ. I beg you to let him disciple your life. Let him mentor you into what you need to be. And then I'll show you what success really is. May God bless you to do that. Will you do that by giving your life to Christ, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism? It's for the remission of sin. That's the good news. It's for the remission of sin. It takes sin out of your life, and he starts you brand new. You want that kind of life? You want to make your life better? Then come to Jesus, because that's the business he's in. He's in the business of remitting sin. He's in the business of washing sin away. He's in the business of setting the devil in his place and letting God reign supreme. Why don't you give your life to him? Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence freely here.
I surrender
all to thee, my
blessed Savior.
I surrender all to Jesus. I